scripture is reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. My goodness. Good morning, church. Let me offer my own word of welcome to worship on this first Sunday in the season of Lent. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor here at First United Methodist Church of Austin. I'm so glad that you're part of our worship today, whether you're here in the sanctuary in person or joining us online or later in the week on the podcast. I'm glad that you are taking time to pause in the midst of everything that is going on in our lives and in our world. We stop to notice, oh, hey, God is up to something. God is at work in me and in my life. God is at work in the world. When I look up from my phone long enough to notice, God is up to something. Love is moving within us and among us and through us. I learned this week that the word Lent comes to us through the Old English word Lenten. Sounds like LinkedIn. That's not what I'm saying. Lenten, which is, it refers to the lengthening, right? The lengthening of days. It means spring or springtime. This is a time of year when things are starting to grow and to change. And we who tend the spirit within ourselves, we seek a season of growing and changing as well. This Lent on Sunday mornings, we are we're tracking along with the assigned readings of the church called the lectionary, and those readings are taking us into these up close and personal encounters with Jesus. Many of these stories involve a one-on-one, face-to-face conversation. These are not stories of Jesus teaching the crowd. Wow. Yes, Lord. Okay, that was interesting. So these are not stories of Jesus teaching the crowd. They are not Jesus out healing lots of people or out and about in the countryside or in town. These are close encounters of the Jesus kind, okay? They are when Jesus gets personal with people all up in their mix. So we're looking in this season when we kind of are unwinterizing our hearts in Lent, when we unlock the door and we invite God to come in and to open up the shutters and to clear out the spiritual cobwebs, when we invite God to come close, we're listening for what Jesus has to say to us. Today, we find Jesus still dripping from his baptism in the waters of the Jordan. And he's been whisked away to the wilderness. Now, remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each have their own way of telling the Jesus story, and that is okay. They are different, just like you and I are different, and we would write the story differently. Matthew is, in many ways, the most Jewish of them all. He's the one who's always hearkening back to what the prophets said and how that connects to Jesus. He tells how Jesus fulfills some aspect of the Hebrew law. How Jesus completes the Jewish story for Matthew. So follow along here and see what Matthew is trying to show us. Just as the people of Israel passed through the sea in their exodus, in their escape from Egypt, Jesus too has just passed through the waters of the Jordan in baptism. And just as the Hebrew people immediately found themselves in the wilderness after that, Jesus now also finds himself in the wilderness. For Matthew, Jesus is a new Moses figure. Moses led the people through the wilderness to become God's covenant people through the commandments and the law that were given on Mount Sinai. In the same way, Jesus will be the one who will lead us on the way through the wilderness to become God's new people, the people of a new covenant that God will make through Jesus, again, up on a mountain, on a cross this time. So that is the journey that Matthew has us on, but that is also the journey of Lent, a little wilderness that leads us to God's new covenant and new life. Sometimes we try to begin Lent with a covenant of our own. If we're honest, sometimes it's kind of a half-baked covenant. Ash Wednesday rolls around, and it's like the Christian version of New Year's Day, right? You're like, ah, I meant to think about this earlier, about what my resolution was going to be. Our Christian New Year's resolutions, our fresh commitments, our it'll be different this time, right? Can we laugh a little bit about it? Can we poke a little fun at ourselves? There's a little truth there. We set up the spiritual version of that, don't we? Instead of new workout clothes, perhaps it's a new devotional. We hand them out to you. I mean, you know, it's kind of a setup, right? Instead of a new water bottle, it's a new app or maybe a Bible reading plan, which I wholeheartedly endorse and love. Instead of a new gym membership, well, here we all are, right? There are quite a few more of you here today than last week. But that right there, that is when the temptation begins. Follow me here. We find Jesus at the start of this new spiritual chapter. He's just been baptized. We have ignition and we're about to have liftoff on his entire ministry. He is committed and he's on his way. It's a new start, a key opening. And that is where the temptation begins. The devil that Matthew portrays in this story of the temptation is such a great echo of the snake in the Garden of Eden in Genesis. He's cunning and crafty in the same way because the things that he offers to Jesus are really good things. In fact, these are actually the things that God will end up doing in and through Jesus. Through Jesus, God will feed the people with the bread of life. In Jesus, we will see God's rescue from death. Through Jesus, we will see God's true power. What the devil offers here are shortcuts to the good things that God offers. They're temptations to get the gifts without the giver. Do you see? The temptation is to get the things that God offers without going through God. For you, perhaps the temptation is to pursue spiritual growth, wellness, wholeness, rather than to pursue God, to pursue justice, rather than the God who defines it, to pursue community and belonging, rather than the God who binds us together. sometimes we miss the thing that makes the thing the thing. Do you know what I mean? There's the thing, but then there's the real thing that makes the thing the thing, if you catch my drift. We make a meal out of side dishes. We go on a side quest and eventually make the side quest the main quest. Sometimes we try to make Christianity about something else besides God. Maybe we make it about trying to become a better person. For some people, it's about putting on a show of perfection and self-righteousness. For others, for many of us, it becomes about service or about justice or about the common good or about beloved community. All of these good things, things that are more tangible, they're easier to pursue and identify. They're not as squirrely as pursuing God. But in every case, in every single temptation, Jesus points back to God. He reasserts his intention to rely on God, to trust God, to submit himself to God's authority. That's the hardest part. To stop pursuing the things that we want, even if they are the things that we believe God wants, and instead just pursue God. Recognize that apart from God, even the good things that we want in this world are just idols, shiny gods. To be honest, I find it difficult to preach this to you today because I so love to give you something tangible, an accessible, simple way to pursue a more faith-filled life. But today we just have Jesus in our faces saying, no shortcuts. You can't staple the fruit onto the tree. You can't get light out of the moon. If you chase the echo, you'll never find the voice. You'll just run into the wall. What Jesus shows us is that the first step in any spiritual journey, wilderness or otherwise, it is surrender. It is the humble recognition that what we need the most, what our souls and our world are really desiring, is God. We would rather God had sent us a three-step plan, complete with an app and push notifications. The strategic plan for a new you and a new world. But instead, God sends us a person, someone we have to get to know up close and personal, someone who just keeps pointing us back to God. So maybe you just sit with that this week. Maybe pause in the midst of your Lenten practice, whatever it is that you have chosen. Pause today in worship as you listen to the choir, as you sing the hymns, as you pray the prayers. Tell God, I am listening for you now. I am looking for you now. Ask God, help me to feel my longing, not just for justice, but for you, the God who makes it. Not just for peace, but for you, the one who embodies it. Not just for you, new life, but for you, the one who gives it. Come, O God, come yourself, and walk us through this wilderness. Amen. Amen.